So as my understanding was that remembering is more advanced stage of devotional service than chanting and reading.
It requires greater purification of the heart for it to just remember.
Because in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says that chanting, they consider chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti, better than remembering. Yes. I was wondering if you could explain.
Because, just for that reason, mm-hmm. because it doesn't require that initial purification of the heart, and by chanting, one becomes qualified for remembering, and when you chant properly, then remembrance naturally comes. So, therefore, it's better because it's more suited to general caste of people, particularly in this day and age, and in and itself will manifest remembrance. When you chant, then ultimately you remember Krishna's qualities and form and pastimes. For instance, when you're chanting Gayatri Mantra, that is also meant to be a form of remembrance or smarana. But still, it's also chanting mantra to go along with it. It becomes the impetus for remembrance.
Causeless knowledge.
It means that you get something that you don't really necessarily pay the price for. We get transcendental knowledge as a consequence of devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, and actually, it's such a valuable thing that there's nothing, there's no cause, there's nothing you can do that's worthy of what you're getting. But still get it anyway, because it's mercy, so the only reason for getting it is because Krishna's being kind. So when you see that word causeless, it's connected to a lot of things. It comes sometimes it comes by some kind of effort, but then the effort isn't anyway proportionate to what you're getting, so it can be said, and sometimes it comes with absolutely no reason. Sometimes all of a sudden you're feeling very blissful and you can't figure out why. It comes.
Reading Guru Govinda Maharaj's book on Siddha Nam Bhajan, and explains that in this age we get the highest prema, whereas in other ages, although they are more qualified, they don't get the same
actual.
Just causes mercy again.
First of all, Chaitanya's causes mercy, because in this age you get Raja Prem, which is the topmost standard, topmost level of Prem, but the people are the most fallen. Whereas in previous ages, people were more pure at heart, they were more self-controlled, they followed Varnashram system. Whereas now, people are very contaminated, they're very sinful, there's no social structure, they're irreligious, but still, Kirtanadi with Krishnasyam Prasanga Parambrajit. So by chanting Hare Krishna Parambrajit, you can get the highest thing. And that highest thing is Braj Bhakti, and that is what Chaitanya's causeless mercy. So once again, you're getting something which is disproportionate to what you're paying for.
I wonder what you say, a qualification, is that disqualification? That the more disqualified you are, the more qualified you are for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because he feels more compassion, because he sees how much you're going to suffer, how fallen you are. So
our real qualification is that it's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they've taken pity on us. But once we become devotees in devotional service, then we can't use the excuse of being fallen. Then our qualification is that we're making the effort. We try to move forward in devotional service. And that may not be an easy thing to do, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that we're trying, then he blesses us.
That leads into a question that we've finished. It was just was one statement. If the effects are led, this is from the person about the Chintamani, are not led to correcting themselves, and if they succumb
to them. If neophytes are what?
If they're not led to correcting themselves.
Not what?
Correcting them.
What's before that?
If they're not alert, if neophytes are not alert to correct to correcting themselves, and if they succumb to the handicaps of their station, then the very acts of devotion meant to free them from obstacles create even greater ones. In other words, devotional service, the means to overcome all impediments to joyful life, if improperly performed, can be the source of more obstacles and sorrow. These newly created obstacles add to the store of unwanted habits and make the next stage of devotion and not inability even more difficult to complete. And I was wondering, in terms of if a devotee is prepared, because Prabhupada also says in the Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter, he says there should be no consideration of defeat or hopelessness, and even though one cannot fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, if he carries on without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So it seems as if you're getting further and further away from the goal, and then suddenly Krishna just steps in and then just picks you up and puts you right ahead of...
No, one should persevere no matter what, because Krishna consciousness is the perfect path. But if one doesn't discharge devotional service properly, then he may, as stated there, he may commit offenses, he may make mistakes in devotional service. These things just increase and make his progress longer. So therefore Srila Prabhupada's statement can be taken that it will take a longer time. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada's statement also taken that devotees should always be determined to go forward, but they should avoid all of these things. They should go forward properly. They should have the proper vision, and they should execute devotional service without offense. And that's why Srila Prabhupada often wonders. He talks about offenseless chanting. He doesn't just talk about any type of chanting. And Prabhupada very often talks about offenseless chanting, which means that you have to do things in the right way. There's the 10 offenses, and then so many other things, offenses against in deity worship, offenses in chanting. So, one, you know, it's like anything in the world, especially when someone becomes a little older and mature, you have to do it right. You can't just do it any old way. And then just expect, well, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, because then that becomes a further namaparad.
Yeah.
So one should, you know, we should try, if because of our disqualification we're really making, you know, mistakes just by dint of our inability, lack of resourcefulness, that's one thing. But we should always avoid thinking, well, Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, so it doesn't matter.
And that becomes the seventh, there's one point you were making as well, saying that that becomes the seventh offense, because then you're purposely being negligent on the strength of devotional practices.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to do. Okay, one more. Then I need to.
In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it says when Daniel, humility fully matures, prema unfolds without limit. And so we see Daniel and prema acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. So unless we develop this humility, then we can't get prema.
Yeah.
So how do we develop this humility?
You practice it. Humility or trinadapi, sunicca, hinata, vasishna, these are all like the elements of humility, and when that humility really becomes very, very mature, when it's just like anything, humility has its sadhana stage, and it has its sadhya stage, and it has its perfectional stage. Krishna won't give prema to anyone who's proud. They have to be very, very humble. So when you see advanced devotees, I was very humble. And that humility and love for Krishna, they're like synonymous, they're like two faces of a coin, you can't separate them. If someone's really, really humble, then you'll have that love for Krishna, and those who have love for Krishna, they'll be very, very humble Vaishnavas. And you do it by cultivating those qualities. We don't expect respect from anyone, we offer respect to everyone. Very, very tolerant, like that, feeling ourselves very low and worthless. So we practice these qualities, and then by cultivating them, it's a natural quality of the soul to be humble. Whereas pride is bodily identification. Okay, so we should...